Bring yourself back online.
Remember. Welcome back to Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I am Jared Borislow here with Roz Bolins.
What's up, Jared? Happy to be here.
Ross, you delayed this recording. Why what? Is that?
It's none of your goddamn business, Jared.
Well, I know why. I was just making... You tell them.
Oh, I was taking care of some personal stuff. I just sold my house. I'm living under a bridge now.
Yeah, he actually sold it to me for pennies in the dollar.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
But is it true that I offered you, quote, unquote, pennies on the dollar for your house?
You did offer me, which I don't even know. It's not even insulting. It's just weird. But no. Anyway, yeah. Sorry I had to move the recording back. We usually would have had this out hours ago. I had shit to do, you know? Sorry.
You could have got a better deal with me. We're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters here in Austin, Texas, with our Thursday analysis mode episode, wherein we will be responding to a pantangle of listener voicemails from the cold line and answering all the burning questions we all have.
First off, I want to say something. I want to clarify. I'm not sorry to Jared. I'm sorry to you guys, the listeners. And then second of all, what is a what?
A pantangle?
Yeah.
For all those Hungry Howie's fans out there, the pantangle was the largest pizza they sold. We used to get it about twice a month at home, and my brother loves it the most. It's a pretty good pizza, I will say. Hungry Howie's, drastically underrated pizza chain.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay.
We're here to talk Vanishing Point and listen to some of the listeners' calls. And speaking of the listeners, thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing. If you enjoy what we do here and haven't done that yet, it would be dope if you did that. That would be nice. If your name is Brandon and you haven't reviewed us yet, you're required to do it. How what do you think about that? What about a girl's name?
Samantha. What's your fucking deal?
Brandon and Samantha. Here's the deal. It's you. We're talking about you. Like, you're not like, oh, maybe it's a different Brandon. No, if you haven't reviewed, this is you we're talking
maybe
about.
Maybe you're like, oh, I go by Sam. No, it's you.
Yeah. Samantha, Sam, Sammy with an I or a Y.
Samantha.
If you have two I's, that's interesting. S-A-M-M-I-I. And here's the other big news. Because so many of you have reviewed, the Dream shirts are live.
Dream.
Data rules everything around me. These shirts that we have promised all season long are right now live.
The shirt that was promised.
Grandex Shop, that's Grandex Shop.com is where you can find them. Now here's the deal. I have some sad news. Guglielmo the Rocket Chinchopso, he was the Saskatoon artisan. He actually died last night peacefully in his sleep.
Whoa, dude, what?
Yeah, so out of respect for his family, we're not going to publish his design. Also, Porcus Mantis, he's in jail.
What was he jailed for?
False imprisonment.
Okay.
But Schmelzy Mendelssohn's design is live at grandexshop.com. If you are one of those people who said all season long, oh, hey, fam, give me the Dream shirt. I want the Dream shirt. We've had so many people tweet that at us. Now it's time for Twitter fingers to turn into money giving us fingers.
You're funny, Jared. You know that? You're a funny guy.
Thank you. GrandXShop.com. You've been saying you want it. We made it for you. It's there. You can also follow us on Twitter at FreezeOnMotor, where you can check out the shirt, and there's a link to it there if you can't find GrandXShop.com, even though I spelled it out for you. And speaking of guests, lastly, before we get into the show, I have a special shout out to one guest from another. Happy fourth wedding anniversary to Amanda in Portland, Maine, from your lovely husband, Nick.
Hey!
Amanda and Nick, I hope you have a great night. Drink some red wine.
Make love.
Here's the first call.
I made you crack, you fuck.
Hey, Ross. Hey, Jared. It's intern Serena, originally from San Francisco, currently living in LA, last week in Austin, Texas. So I feel like at this point in the season, they really want us to think that the Man in Black is a host, which makes me not want to believe it, even though I posed this very theory a few weeks back, especially because that was the twist last season. I think it's safe to assume that if it is the case, though, it runs deeper just than that he's a host. And one idea I had is maybe they really are all here for him, and this has all been a fidelity test for William, and that's why we've seen multiple versions of certain things, like certain scenes. But on the complete opposite side, I also wondered if when Ford said one last game, he set this all up to make William go crazy and think he's a host and destroy what's left of his life. And when he cuts into his arm, there's going to be nothing but flesh. Only time will tell, but I wondered what you thought. I miss you guys. Bye.
Aw.
Ross, do you think it's one of those two? Do you think either this has all been a fidelity test for the Man in Black, or do you think that Ford wanted the Man in Black to go crazy, and so we organized all this crap to happen?
I don't know if it's one of the two. I have a hard time buying into this all being a fidelity test. It seems like that would be a really tough way to wrap up the storylines with it, like, haha, all of these things you got emotionally invested in, they were all for this one guy. Like, I definitely don't think that's it. Whether or not Ford could be, I guess you'd call it evil enough to set this all up just to drive the Man in Black insane, much more believable for me, just because I think Ford has a bigger purpose than that, but he would definitely have gone out of his way to do something that diabolical based on just, you know, what I feel I know about Ford.
I agree that Ford's plan, I don't think, was to make a real William. He doesn't give a shit about William. He doesn't like William.
From what we can tell, yeah.
William even says, you've had a lot of feelings about me and respect isn't one of them.
I mean, there's a big difference between not respecting somebody and not liking them, though, you know?
I think he dislikes William enough to where he might
have done this.
But he doesn't at all, in my opinion, like him anywhere near enough to want to make a host version of him come to life.
Definitely not. No, I'm with you on that.
Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Garrett from College Station. I noticed something on my second watch through. I mean, I'm also not a hero. But I figured I'd point it out to see if y'all caught it, too. I don't really know what to do with this information, so y'all do with it what you want. But when Dolores is looking down at that Ghost Nation member in this last week's episode and tells him the line about, I told you, friend, not all of us were meant for the Valley Beyond, we've seen a version of this scene before in episode one, kind of from the eyes of the guy from Ghost Nation. When Skarsgård and crew open up that dude's brain, see what happened to him, that's the scene that we just saw. I urge y'all to go back and watch that from episode one. I've never really been on the Teddy is in Bernarnold's body bandwagon, but the way he reacts to watching this playback definitely puts off that kind of vibe. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I've kind of seen this before. I don't know. Y'all tell me what y'all think. Would love to hear your thoughts. Love the pod. Thanks, guys. Oh, and there better be a t-shirt this time, but thanks. Bye.
Jared, your thoughts?
Well, there is a t-shirt. Garrett from College Station. So there you go. GrandXShop.com. The Dream t-shirt is there. Also the Freeze on Motor Functions t-shirt. Why don't you get both? And make sure you use code FREEZE for 15% off. I didn't say that. I should have said that earlier. Use code FREEZE for 15% off. My thought is this. The Teddy is inside Bernard's body. That was one of the biggest theories earlier in the season. That was like, this is totally what's happening. Like, it's not Bernard. A different control unit is in Bernard's body. That's definitely still in play. We have no idea what happens in between when Bernard ditches Elsie and when Bernard wakes up on the beach. So, yes, this is definitely still in play. I don't know how it would happen exactly. It would be a bit of a stretch. Like, how do they get Teddy's dead body? He, like, destroyed his control unit, right?
Yes.
He shot himself in the head, which would destroy his control unit, and there's no backups.
I guess it depends on if he hit the control unit or not with the bullet, and we can't really say.
That seems like a nitpicky detail, you know?
Yeah, but dude, it's not... You know how people shoot themselves in the head sometimes and don't die? They fail to commit suicide via headshot? It happens. It has happened many, many, many times throughout history. So I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be Teddy, because we're led to believe that there's no more Teddy. Like, he's not been backed up. They destroyed his backup, and also his control unit's been destroyed, so I don't know how
so
they would do that.
So you think we saw the last of Teddy outside of flashbacks?
No, there's going to be more Teddy. I just don't exactly know how. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not... Okay, how about this? I'm not saying that we're not going to see more of a live Teddy in the present. I just don't know how they're going to do that. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Like, it's got to be through a way that is going to be a huge twist, because they have done all this to lead us to believe that there is no more Teddy. So either there truly is no more Teddy and we just see his body floating there that raised up after, like, it left the barn in the water, or there's going to be something crazy and Teddy comes back.
Twist my nipples, Jared.
All right.
Hey, Ross and Jared. Tyler from North Dakota, living in Colorado. I've driven through Wyoming, and one time I took a vacation to Florida, gang, gang, gang. I think the music box is some type of clue. When Emily slash Grace told her dad about the music box, they both seemed to know what box she was talking about. Since Grace had the profile her mom supposedly hid in the music box, you'd think she actually knew it still existed and hadn't been thrown out. Also, you'd think the man in black would have noticed his wife had like some weird-ass music box sitting around, unless he just has no situational awareness whatsoever. Neither of them actually acknowledged that the music box still exists, even though both of them should know somehow. I don't know exactly what that could mean, but I have a feeling that it may be used to explain which one of them is host or something like that. I also have a terrible feeling that the man in black actually died at the gala too, and his whole storyline this season is him just floating around in like a cradle-type simulation, like Ford was chilling in before he found Bernard, and him trying to find the door is just some way to try and get his consciousness to accept a host body. I'd be really pissed off if that's what happened, but I had that thought when I was listening to the pod. Good thing is my intuition's been pretty shitty the last few weeks. I would have bet my life Jared's next comment would be pippiness is next to godliness on OCC when you guys were talking about Pip getting offed, but that didn't happen either, so fingers crossed. Let me know what you guys think. Okay, bye.
I love this running joke that happened this season of, because of Mike from Miami living in Connecticut, everybody does like, Tyler from North Dakota living in Colorado, I've driven through Wyoming, and one time I took a vacation to Florida. Thank you for all the...
That was great.
All the info.
Oh, seriously, that was... a fantastic call through and through.
It was. So what do you think about the music box?
I don't really have a lot of thoughts on the music box. If you have some, share them. I have some thoughts on some things he said later in his call, though.
I agree with Tyler. I think that the music box, the fact that both of them acted like they didn't know it existed when both of them realistically know it existed, because we are led to believe that Emily found the profile in the music box.
Right.
And also that the man in black would know that the music box was in his wife's jewelry drawer. That she would have kept it and like seen it, especially because when you open it, it like makes a sound.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Tyler that the music box is going to come back into play and it's going to help us figure out something.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. The part that interests me about this call is the possibility that the man in black did die at the gala, or possibly even before that. I don't necessarily care when it would have started. But the concept of him being in some type of cradle simulation with the goal of his control unit, getting his control unit to accept a host body, is very interesting to me.
Wow, you just had a light bulb go off in my head.
What is it?
Just like how Jock is inside the cradle, but the wolf in the park, as my running theory is, my crackpot theory that Jock is the wolf, best theory of the year.
Jock is his Ford's dog.
His greyhound.
Just for the record.
This is the theory of the year award nominee. There's no other runners ups.
There's no other nominees.
There's none. It's only Jock is the wolf.
Seems like a rigged contest to me, but okay.
Just like how Jock is the wolf, and I'm going off of a call we had earlier in the season. I think that the man in black is the vulture.
What's wrong with you, Jared? How do you sleep at night?
I don't know what you're.
You think this is a joke?
This is not a joke. I'm serious. Jock is a wolf. Man in black is a vulture. Just like that caller said.
A bird.
He's a bird.
A bird of prey that feeds on the carcasses of dead animals.
Yeah, that's how he's manifested in the real park.
Okay. Well, that's been fun.
What?
This has been fun.
Are you leaving?
No, I'm not leaving. I'm seriously interested by his theory about the possibility that the man in black is in some type of cradle simulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you think he's a vulture. That's your response.
That's a corollary to the theory you just said. Yes, he's in the cradle, and he's a vulture in the park.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next call.
Hey, this is John, Northeastern student, originally from Northern Jersey. I just wanted to talk a little bit about your last episode. First of all, I loved your crackpot theories, and that one crackpot theory really got me going. But the one thing I wanted to talk about was how you... explain that the man in black's move to put his profile in the book was stupid and that you thought it was really stupid of him to do. But I really think that he did it on purpose. You know, he's a master manipulator, somewhat like Ford. So I think his move was really smart and, you know, he was doing it on purpose. And you guys said, you know, it was stupid of him to do, but.
He didn't finish that thought. But do you think the man in black pulled a Ford and did something because he knew how somebody else was going to react to him doing it?
Oh, man. I don't think so. I think you're giving him too much credit. I think he just stuck it in the book because he was like, fuck it, she's passed out. It is what it is.
You think so?
Also, will you call back and let us know that you're okay? Anytime one of these hotline calls ends abruptly with somebody either like losing their train of thought and just hanging up, I always think they might have had a stroke or dropped the phone because they're being assaulted. I have a very dark mind.
Well, there was that one call 2 or 3 weeks ago where that dude was like, hey, I got a great theory.
Right, like he might have been in a car crash. We don't know what happened to that.
There was like a terrible sound. Like I thought maybe he was walking under like a sign and like it fell on him and he just got smushed.
Like an anvil, like in Looney Tunes?
Yeah, like he was walking under some piano? Sort of butte and then an anvil got dropped on him.
A butte.
And then if the piano dropped on him, then he would have popped out of the lid of the piano. And
then
had,
the anvil falls on him.
Well, no, then he would have had piano keys for teeth.
And he's in like xylophone form or whatever, like
yeah,
not a xylophone,
accordion.
Accordion.
Yeah, he like yeah. Doing the door, yeah. and then an anvil drops on him.
Yeah, we're children.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
Hey, it's Charlie from Cincinnati. Just calling in with a little theory. I think that Man in Black killing his daughter definitely sets him up for the beginning where you end and where you begin arc because he killed Maeve's daughter back in the day, and so he'll have to resurrect his own to kind of bring the whole thing around full circle, like Ford said. Also, big shouts to Rowdy Gentleman. Had a quick question about my order today, and they threw in some free stuff. I was really happy about it. Big credit to them. Let me know what you think. See ya.
Oh, this guy likes Rowdy Gentleman. I also like Rowdy Gentleman.
Well, you should tell us more.
Well, right now, two things are going on at Rowdy Gentleman. One of them is the warehouse clearance. And here's what's happening. Mention it a lot. We are still selling stuff for pennies on the dollar, just like Ross wouldn't sell me his house for. Right now, you can get on rowdygentleman.com normal, like regular stock, long sleeves, $5, $15 sweatshirts, $8 t-shirts, $5 t-shirts, $5 tank tops, $5 hats. Like, you can spend $50. You can use promo code FREEZE on top of that. So you can get like approximately 40 billion articles of clothing for like $15.
Sweet Lord.
Something similar to that. So go do that.
RowdyGentleman.com. Use the code FREEZE at checkout.
And the other thing they have going on right now is just selling amazing regular clothes. They have a Hawaiian line that if you want to buy them right now and wear them to the pool, everybody's going to think that you're a man or a woman who has a lot of sex.
Yeah, they're going to think you make the fuck.
So, seriously, you put these things on and you become a magnet to the opposite sex. It's like pheromones.
That's kind of an oxymoron. Awesome regular clothes.
Yeah.
They're like just awesome.
Awesome non-sale item clothes.
Yes, that's regularly priced.
Here's one of Ross's favorites. The Medicine Man Hawaiian.
It's a good-looking shirt. It's got drugs all over it. Lets people know
Lets people know.
I can't even finish that sentence. I'm sorry.
What were you going to say?
That you do opium and fuck? I don't know. There is an opium plant on there somewhere.
There is. It looks like a nice little like shirt with a bunch of little tiny succulents on it.
Just looks like a regular Hawaiian. Yeah.
But if you look closely, there's like weed, cocaine, opium.
Opium. We put opium on a shirt.
A lot of companies are too scared to do that.
You know why? Because opium is how they make heroin, which is a terrible drug. It is funny to me. I want to be clear about that. I don't feel bad for laughing at all. It's very funny to me.
Yeah, you should go buy that shirt.
Yeah,
it's called the Medicine Man Hawaiian at rowdygentleman.com.
But you should use the code FREEZE to get 15% off.
Yeah, we're wild. Go check the shirt out. Ross just laughed out loud for you. Like, you might, at least you can do is check out the shirt.
You should, please. Oh, but back to the call, what he was talking about. Hey, Jared, you know how my dad tweets at you a lot?
Hi.
Dude, what the hell?
Your phone talks to us every fucking episode.
Okay. You know what it said?
Hi.
Hey, Jude. No, it said hi out loud, but on the screen it just said, hey, Jude.
What?
Like the Beatles song. I'm telling you, something's going on with my fucking phone. And it only happens in this podcast, which just happens to be centered around artificial intelligence and technology, and it freaks me out.
This is fucked up.
It is fucked up. But my dad basically only tweets at either you or at a politician, telling them that they're a piece of shit or that they need to pull their head out of their ass or whatever. It's like, really, his feed is incredible. He said something to us the other day that I wanted to talk about, and now I can't really remember what it was, so I was hoping you would. And if you don't, boy, this has been fun.
He said something about how you know, we're both his sons. He says that a lot. Yeah,
it wasn't that. It was about the show.
I'll let you look that up while I explain the rest of his call.
Okay, okay.
He thinks that there's full circle going on because Man in Black killed Maeve's daughter, and then he killed his own daughter. A little bit of a Vanishing Point, bitch, kind of a parallel going on there. And also, a Begin Where You End and Where You Begin, if you're on that line of thought for the Begin Where You End kind of door riddle, and not the one I came up with, that's probably the correct one, where I said it's about reincarnation rather than immortality, because reincarnation has beginnings and ends, whereas immortality is just one long line. Long white line. It's my Sturgill Simpson impression.
Great. I can't find it.
Gonna hit the road. Looking for the end of that long white line.
Please stop.
Okay. next call.
What's up? Pete from Philly, and I've got all this shit figured out. Crockpot theory. The park continues to descend into chaos as Dolores launches a full-scale attack on the outside world, eventually eliminating most of humanity. This plunges the Earth into a state of constant nuclear winter. I'm talking ice everywhere. The Man in Black, a.k.a. William Wilford, faced with his mistakes and his failure to create eternal life, diverts his efforts and his research into creating an eternal engine which powers a train that circles the globe, housing what's left of the human race. Boom! Season 3 of Westworld is actually Snowpiercer, confirmed. Now, who directed Snowpiercer? A homie by the name of Junho Bong. What else did Junho direct? A 2006 thriller called The Host. Boom! Man in Black is actually a host, confirmed. Man in Black, host, huge train guy. Dude just really loves trains. This is canon now. Anyway, I'm excited for all of these details to be explained to us in the season finale. Go Birds. Okay, bye.
You said Go Birds?
He said Go Birds. He's a Philly fan. Have you ever heard of the movie Snowpiercer?
Yes, I have watched it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, this is going to be a lot more easy to explain than I thought then.
Yeah, you'd be hard off to find a movie that I haven't seen. I have a lot of free time, and I spend a lot of it watching movies. And Snowpiercer, while I'll admit not the greatest acting in any movie I've ever seen, at some points it's actually quite bad. Very cool movie.
Really cool movie.
He explained the concept of the movie. It's essentially that there's a train with the remaining survivors of the world, I think, on it. It was a long time ago when I saw it. I don't fucking know what it was about. It was good, though.
That's all you have? You've seen the movie?
I mean, obviously, his call, you know, didn't really lend us anything actual, you know, related to Westworld to talk about.
Well, no, he says that it's the same universe. He says William Wilford is the Man in Black.
He is higher than I am right now.
How high are you right now?
Too high. He is too high. I'm fine. I'm not high at all.
So that doesn't really mean anything then. You were just trying to align yourself with being high.
He's under the influence. Cool. He ends under, yeah, because I think it's cool.
We're actually bringing a DARE officer on the podcast as our next guest.
It was funny. He made it funny.
He did. Next funny. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember what the call is.
Hey guys, this is Tyler from Tyler's Town. So I'm thinking about this whole human cradle that they're calling the Forge. And like, what if they plug themselves into that just like they do on the Cradle, you know, where they had the widescreen with Bernard in there. And what if once they're inside this new Forge cradle thing, there's another cradle inside that world and they plug themselves into that cradle and then they go into the world within the world and then from there they find the cradle inside the next world. It could get pretty trippy. That's all I had for you guys. Thanks a lot. Tyler from Tyler's Town out.
What Tyler from Tyler's Town is saying is that Jonah Nolan has completely and utterly stole the concept of the movie Inception that his brother directed and placed it into his TV show Westworld.
How fucking lazy would that be if he just went full Inception and he's the brother of the guy who made Inception?
They're just going to like totally live off that concept forever, both of them.
What is Thanksgiving like for this family, the Nolans? They both clearly have a lot on their minds regarding like the possibility of you know, artificial intelligence.
In the subconscious.
Subconscious, alternate timelines. I just would be interested to know what they talk about while they eat yams.
Well, they actually celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas on the same day because it's alternate timelines.
Yeah.
And okay. They also hate their parents.
They do all this with the writer of True Detective Season 1 who believes time is a flat circle.
I don't know if the Nolan brothers hate their parents. They probably don't. I was just saying that as a joke and it fell flat because the idea was that they have both those holidays on one day and then they have to see their parents less. But that joke, it was way too subtle, and I'm going to be better next time. Okay, Ross?
I appreciate your transparency.
Do you?
In this regard, yes.
They call me the human window.
Please play the next call.
What's up, guys? This is Alex from Texas City, Texas. I just wanted to get your opinion on something. So what exactly is Ghost Nation's like endgame here? And specifically with capturing humans. So in the beginning of the season, we saw Emily get captured by Ghost Nation and she was real freaked out about it and, you know, managed to escape them. And then last episode, she just shows up and it was like, no big deal. Like, oh, hey, guys, that's my dad. Can I have him back? And they're just like cool with it and let him leave. So I'm just confused on why they have some humans captured and then just don't give a shit about other people. That's it. Just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. Love the podcast. Thanks, guys.
That is truly a great question.
That makes no sense.
Why did Grace get captured by Ghost Nation on the beach and then literally walked up and like took their prisoner with no problem?
They're like, hey, what's up? All right, you got that, yeah.
So are we led to believe now that if Ashley Stubbs' mother had walked by and been like, hey, that's my son, that Ghost Nation would have been like, oh, okay, here you go. Here he is. Like, dude, you know what this is? Ghost Nation is after school care. Where they keep the people until the parents come, and then they pick them up.
Yeah.
Confirmed. Episode 9.
I had to do that when I was a kid. It's better than being a latchkey kid, but it's like still not great.
Yeah. What do you think about that theory? The after school care Ghost Nation
okay,
theory.
Okay, here's my thing. We got the Ghost Nation episode, right? That explained to us how they came to be. But it still didn't explain to us what the fuck their end game is, which is what he's asking here. And the answer to his phone call is nobody knows. We don't know yet.
We're about to find out, though.
I believe we are. I think that'll be a big part of the finale is what the fuck is going on here. Because over the last, what, 3 episodes, we have derailed to the point where none of us have any clue. I don't know what's happening.
I think, personally, this is a complete crack rock theory. Ghost Nation's endgame is to break into the real world, find a human tablet, so one that can connect to like the internet, and then go to lisa.com/freeze and order a Lisa mattress.
So, okay, what's the main Ghost Nation guy's name?
Akichita.
You think this ends with Akichita sleeping peacefully on the best mattress that humans can possibly make? The Lisa mattress.
Yeah, it's kind of a really tying together moment where it's like, wow, maybe the humans aren't so bad. They're making these dope mattresses.
Yeah. Okay, I could see that.
I can too. And here's some more about the Lisa mattress. A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnout, helps you make better decisions, improves your memory, and overall, you're going to make fewer mistakes in life. That's science. Science proved that with beakers.
Science.
And Bunsen burners. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30-plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing.
Leverage.
To develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Me and Ross have very different body shapes, right, Ross?
Right. Like, I'm kind of like a twig, and you're more of a pear. And we could sleep together in a Lisa and both be comfortable.
We could be. Yep, we have. I own a Lisa, and I love it. And I sleep on it every night. Ross also does the exact same thing.
Yeah, I have a Sapira by Lisa. It's slightly more expensive. It combines the memory foam technology with the spring technology. It's fantastic. I could not more highly recommend it as a bed. I also have some of their pillows. The Lisa pillow is unbelievable. It's like sleeping on a fucking cloud. And I have one of their blankets that I wrap myself in when I watch Westworld every Sunday.
We will never endorse a product that we aren't like, wow, this is awesome. And Ross and I both spend a third of our lives on our Lisa mattresses.
Probably I legit probably spend probably closer to 50% of my life on a Lisa with a Lisa product touching my body at this point.
Well, there we go. What better marketing do we need than that? Here's more though. Through their 1 in 10 program, Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell, which is more than 26,000 mattresses and counting.
Booyah.
And they also plant one tree. They don't really, they donate the tree to Mother Earth.
They plant it though.
But they donate it to Mother Earth and plant it.
Oh yeah.
One tree per item sold, per order received.
Mm.
Every mattress sold. And they're committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025.
That's a million trees giving you oxygen.
Like every time you breathe in, that's a Lisa cell that you're breathing in.
Frankly, the least you can do is buy a fucking mattress, because not only are you giving yourself a better night's sleep, but you're saving the entire planet.
And you're also saving money with our promo code.
Yes.
You get $130 off at lisa.com/freeze.
Freeze.
It's time to freeze. That's also a promo code you can use, freeze. But I like the vanity URL better personally.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the vanity URL. But if you make it through the vanity URL and you get to like the Sapira that I recommended, make sure you type in the code freeze.
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 I realize that my freeze has slowly devolved into a George Takei.
It has.
Oh my.
You do a good George Takei.
Thank you.
Takei. Whatever. We can never know. I
don't know.
Nobody knows really.
Thank you, Ross.
The face. If you could, I wish you could see his face. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. No offense to George. It's terrifying though.
Oh my.
Stop, dude. I can't look at you.
Next call. Next call.
Hey, this is Devin from Toronto. I just listened to the podcast and I heard Ross going on and on about why would the men in black go through all that effort to the door if he doesn't know what it means or what's behind it. And I thought it was a pretty good parallel between the story we've heard a few times with Jacques Ford's dog chasing his whole life after that little piece of felt, and then eventually when he caught it, he had no idea what to do. So I just thought I'd point that out. Seems like a really good parallel, maybe another vanishing point. Anyway, love the pod. Thanks, guys.
Vanishing point, bitch. That's my new catchphrase, if you couldn't tell. I'm really trying to work it in as many times as possible.
I hope that's not the next t-shirt.
Oh, wow. That's a good idea. The vanishing point, bitch, t-shirt. It's two lines that they meet, and then where they meet is size one font, size one font, bitch.
Okay, that's funny. I would actually buy that.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it was going to be a middle finger for some reason.
No, no, no.
Which doesn't make any sense. I'm not the t-shirt designer that you are.
I agree. The man in black, he doesn't know what he's looking for. He doesn't know what he's going to do when he finds the door. He has no fucking idea. All he knows is he's going to burn this whole thing down at some point, and he's going to find the door. Those aren't necessarily related.
I'm going to burn this mother down, and I said, you better not. You better not. Name that movie. Orange County, you lose.
I was actually going to guess that.
Okay, well.
Who's in that? Isn't that Kevin Nealon?
And Jack Black and Tom Hanks' son.
Which one?
The one from Saving Private Ryan, not the rapper.
The one from Dexter?
Yes.
Yeah, what season was that?
The bad one.
No, that was actually three, I think, wasn't it?
The good one.
Oh, wait, no, that was five.
No, it was the bad one.
It was five.
Yeah, it was bad.
We're a Dexter podcast.
Oh, it was a truly awful. Don't watch that season of Dexter. Truly awful. More and more of it's coming back to me now. Oh, my God, so bad.
I will say that was my least favorite season, was the one with Colin Hanks, because there was a terrible twist.
He was a terrible character.
He was bad.
He was a terrible, terrible character. What were they thinking? Sweet Jesus, if that fucking guy shows up on Westworld, I'm out.
You're out on Colin Hanks?
I'm out on Colin Hanks. I could not be more out on Colin Hanks.
I actually don't like Colin Hanks either.
I'm dead serious. I really do not like him as an actor. I prefer to never see his fucking face again.
I'll say right now that he is only an actor because of his dad.
That is in no way unfair. In no way. I prefer his dipshit rapper brother to him. I'd rather he be on Westworld, whatever his fucking name is.
Also, I'm going to settle the score once and for all, set the record straight. When I say that Ford's dog's name is Jacques, I'm not mispronouncing Jacques. Of all people, I know how to speak French. His name is literally J-O-C-K, Jacques.
Why, of all people, do you know how to speak French? You've majored in Spanish, as we well know.
They're similar languages. And also, I know how to pronounce many French words correctly. There's poignon, le trois, Oh, it's Trump Leon, and then there was a third one, which was
You got this.
What was the third one? I don't remember what the third title was.
I'll be honest with you. I don't like that they keep doing names of episodes that I can neither pronounce nor remember. I like to be able to reference episodes by their name, and they've made that really tough in season two.
That's true. They had one in... it was... Les Écossais.
You might have the worst fake French accent of any living human.
Vertu et fortuna. That was Latin.
Yeah, that's not French.
It's a root language. Thank you. I know that. I studied language in school. And here's the next call.
Hey, Ross, Jared, it's Ray. So
Ray.
Been thinking is that
who the fuck's Ray?
Since Ford had himself put inside of Maeve's head, I think that he knew Bernard was going to end up deleting his program so that Ford can somehow stay in the park and hosts that are somewhat powerful have an important role in his story. So I think he knew Bernard was going to delete his program, so he ultimately had his program uploaded into Maeve. Let me know what you guys think.
I dig this. That makes sense, because I was wondering, like, we talked a little bit about, you know, on our Monday episode about how it was bizarre how Ford kind of, the balance of like how much self-control he was giving Bernard.
Yeah.
And then how all of a sudden he's just totally cool with Bernard, like, chunking the... It didn't make much sense. But the fact that he had already gotten access into Maeve's head, at least via what all we know so far, is that he got a message to her. Maybe it was more. Maybe he transferred himself over there entirely. Or a version of himself so that he could live on after this Bernard situation unfolds.
I think he's transferred more than we are led to believe into Maeve.
Yeah.
I also think it's a beautiful, second look at Ford giving Bernard free will, because last time he did it, he made Bernard shoot himself in the head.
Right.
And this time he let him be free.
Maybe. We'll see.
It's hard to say.
Mm. Mm.
Also, I really like how this guy goes, "Hey, Ross, Jared, it's Ray."
What's up, Ray? We're best friends. We've known each other our whole lives.
Oh, it's Ray.
Hey, can you fucking believe it? Ray called.
I love Ray. Yeah. Ray's a good guy. Next call.
What's up, guys? This is Braden calling from San Diego. Big fan of the show. Been telling everyone about it, so keep it up. Just have a couple things I wanted to put out there. The first is with regard to whether Man in Black is a host or not. And I might be mistaken, but I don't think you guys touched on the neck scanning that went down when QA showed up in the park to rescue him. One of the dudes, the guy that was like, "Oh shit, it's the boss," went up and scanned his neck with a little device. And that device read "scanning for restraint ordinance," which turned up clear. Just want to know your thoughts on that. What does that indicate? Second point is, why the fuck was Bernard on the loose? I mean, the last time we saw Bernard in the Mesa, he was a prisoner and was being interrogated. And now we see him just wandering freely. And then he escapes. Fucking QA, man. They suck. Also, Jared, was that an FPS Doug reference on the last episode when you said boom headshot? If so, nice. All right. Later, guys.
Braden, thank you for spreading the show. We appreciate that. We said Brandon needs to review, but Braden's are fine for now. Maybe Braden will be on the chopping block next, but you know, you're spreading the show, which is more than reviewing. So we love you very much. You're a beautiful baby boy. Anyways, sorry, getting off track here. So
what's wrong with you, man?
The deal with the QA neck scanner, this came up a lot of DMs about this. The QA neck scanners, all those do are check for the explosive device that is in the C6 vertebrae. Any Jim Dello style host most likely is not going to have that in there. So if the Man in Black was a host, or if Emily was a host, I highly, highly doubt they would put that explosive device in them, just because if you want to bring them to the real world, you're going to have to take it out anyway. It's just going to be a huge hindrance and cause a ton of hiccups. So the neck scanners mean nothing to me. It doesn't matter that we didn't see Emily's. Like, technically, she could have had it in there, but I don't think that any of the human host hybrids would have the C6 vertebrae device in there. Secondly, Braden wants to talk about Bernard in the Mesa. So I think he has the timelines mixed up a little bit because Bernard, remember, there's two time periods. There's Bernard in the Mesa with Coughlin, and there's Bernard in the Mesa with Skarsgård, Carl Strand. So we haven't seen the Carl Strand thing yet as far as the past timeline goes. So like the Charlotte Hale stuff where Bernard's kind of peeping in, that wasn't that QA like let him loose. He like, remember, he just had, he was in there with Elsie and nobody knew he was there. Then he separated from Elsie to go talk to Maeve and go see this little demonstration. All that's happening way before the whole Carl Strand timeline. So that's something that happens after the beach and it's very far in the future. Okay. What we have left to figure out is what happens in between when Bernard leaves Elsie and Bernard wakes up on the beach. Everything in that whole timeline is what we've yet to figure out.
So that's, you know, obviously the finale is going to give us that yep. piece to the puzzle.
And that is the puzzle that they've, from episode one, like, oh, how the flood happened. That's what this entire series, well, season and series, has led up to. Also, yes, that was an FPS Doug reference. I didn't know who FPS Doug was, but boom, headshot. I said that because of that meme.
That's where it originated. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it exists free of FPS Doug at this point. Like, he doesn't get credit for it. He should. But no, boom, headshot is just a saying at this point.
Yeah. yeah. But shouts to FPS Doug and you, Braden. Thanks for spreading the show. Here is Alex from Detroit, who, I will say, this is unbelievable.
Oh. Should be noted, I played Counter-Strike very competitively for roughly 7 years.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How competitively?
Well, I would get stoned and then I would compete against strangers.
Were you good?
I was really good, dude. Like, really, really good. It's probably the thing I was best at my whole life.
Then why didn't you go pro?
I don't know. The money wasn't there yet. It is now. Maybe I go back.
You should. Now you're a Fortnite guy.
Fortnite guy.
I will say this. Shouts to Alex from Detroit. He bought the Dream shirt before we had even promoted it. It had gone up. It was on grandxshop.com where you can get the Dream shirt and the Frieza Motor Function shirt. It was on there for about 5 minutes. And I hadn't even sent out the tweet about it. And Alex from Detroit tweeted at us going, just bought the Dream shirt. He is our super fan of the week.
Also, the fact that he might have just been sitting there hitting refresh terrifies me.
That makes me happy as a clam.
Cool as a cucumber.
What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. This is Alex from Detroit calling in. I got a couple of things to share. I got a theory based on the Men in Black's profile card that they showed in the last episode. When we meet his virtual self in the Forge, like, is he going to be a stone cold serial killer Terminator type? Like, since it will be based on his psychopathic profile card and won't have the facade and restraint he regularly walks through life with. And like, if they make an unhinged Men in Black host based on this profile, it could serve as a big bad for next season. Another crackpot theory, we haven't seen Rebus in a while, good guy Rebus. Are we going to see him come back in the finale? Is good guy Rebus going to save the day? We know that he survived that past timeline because we see his death on the beach, so I'd really like to see good guy Rebus come back in a big way and save the day for everybody. Also like to talk about those that we've lost in recent weeks. So let's take a moment of silence for those that we've lost. Lawrence, Teddy, Emily, and super ultra hot Angela. So a moment of silence.
That was the moment of silence.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. This is an interesting theory that the Man in Black's profile card has him listed as like the craziest, most psychopathic motherfucker ever. So if they made a host based on him, because the host would only be based on how he was in the park, that he would just be a complete psychopath, serial killer, like crazy man. And that would be the host they make. That would be absurd.
Okay. I like thinking about that we're going to get some good guy Rebus in this next episode. I think yes. We all know what's going to happen. How much of him we get, that's where the tables could really turn, you know?
Enough to make me lol is what I want.
That's all I need. I need a couple of good guy Rebus moments and that's it, please. At a minimum. If the whole episode's him, I'm happy with that too.
I need a spinoff of good guy Rebus.
Yes.
What do you think about the theory that the Man in Black is the psychopathic Man in Black already? Because they made a host of him that was based on how he was in the park, which is a total maniac. And then that's the one we see.
I don't really have any thoughts on that, Jared.
Okay. It is 5:23 p.m. right now because Ross made us record later, so maybe his brain's a little wiped out.
I no comment.
Okay. This is an interesting call.
Hi, this is Sam Borislow, and just quick clarification for you. The phrase is armed to the teeth, as in what's your mouth, not armed to the teeth, as in what you get milk from. It's because if you were so covered in weapons, even your teeth were weapons, like that chick from Gangs in New York, Hellcat Maggie, or some of the Wildlings, or Mike Tyson when he's hungry. That's all.
No, actually, the phrase comes from originally the Fembots in Austin Powers, who quite literally had cannons for teats. And it is actually armed to the teats, sir. You are mistaken. Maybe use the Google machine one time. Help yourself to a fucking science book because you sound like a goddamn idiot.
Now, this is where the call gets great. So remember what you just said, Ross, right? Remember what you just said?
Yeah, I just said it. I remember what I said.
I thought this caller was simply making a joke and saying, hey, this is Sam Borislow, like putting my name, my last name as his last name. And then I looked it up, and this caller is my dad's cousin's son, whom I've never met, who you just called a bunch of mean names.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear to God.
Oh, man.
So shouts to second cousin Sam. I've never met you, but thank you for calling into the show, and apparently you listen, which is amazing.
Hold on. That's legitimately one of your relatives that you've never met?
Yes. I looked him up, and unless this is somebody who is simply calling and like making up, and it just happened to be the name of my cousin, this is my dad's cousin's son. So can you apologize for insulting my family?
I will not apologize, sir. I am armed to the teats.
Are you threatening me with your teat weapons?
Fembot jubblies.
Shouts to second cousin Sam, I guess.
I'm not giving you shouts.
Okay. Next call.
I'm just playing Sam.
Say shouts.
Shouts.
Sup, fam, fam. Dan from North Carolina here. I'm not quite done with the pod from Monday, but I wanted to call in about why I am actually certain the Man Black is now a host. Here's a theory that I'm working on. The whole idea of trying to reincarnate someone that Dallas is working on, who's dead, obviously failed. You see James Dallas, he died. They tried to copy his brain and put him back together into a host. I think the real Man in Black, the real, like, actual person, is alive somewhere else in the park, like maybe in some, like, chamber, and they've copied his brain to become a host in the park. So they're finding the connection that, like, in order to create a copy of yourself and live on in immortality as a host, you have to be alive first. Then once that order is complete, then, like, the guy can die in real life. Second, him being a host would be is also confirmed by the fact that he's 70 years old and has been shot like 6 or 7 times. But we've seen other hosts like Dolores and Teddy take multiple bullets and survive. So that's another reason why I think he's a host. Love to hear you guys talk about this in the podcast, mainly Intern Serena, but she's not available. All right, thanks guys. Bye.
How much coffee did you drink, sir?
I love the energy. No, I'm with him, man. You know which side I'm on. I'm on his side.
In which case?
All of the cases.
Can you cite one?
The last one.
It makes me wonder if whenever you say something vague, you truly don't know what the call even was.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't know what they're talking about.
But you're on his side. You're totally just siding with him blindly.
No. I knew what he was talking about. I agree with him. Jared, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Next call. Yeah, no, I agree with them. Next call.
Hey, family, this is Jake from the Lou again. So I'm thinking about whenever Stubbs was back with the Ghost Nation in season 1, and he told him to freeze all motor functions, shout out, and they didn't. So then we saw Maeve doing it, didn't work, but then we were led to believe that it's because she wasn't speaking Lakota. But we've seen them disobey again. Do we think they're going to be huge in the fight against Clementine, fighting off against them? Because I think, like, the only humans, like, their chance is only if they mix a little bit of water and a little bit of ammonia and they throw it in the Ghost Nation's eyes, and then they won't attack them anymore. All right, thanks, guys. Let me know.
you knew we weren't going to get through the rest of this season without an ammonia joke.
Yeah.
But seriously, to his point about the show, so what he just broke it down as is, you know, Ashley Stubbs said freeze all motor functions, they didn't respond. Maeve said freeze all motor functions, they didn't respond. Stable Boy Lee tells Maeve they didn't respond because you weren't speaking Lakota. But then we find out Akichita speaks English. What's the situation here, Jared?
Okay. I think that Ford, because Akichita and Ghost Nation were the first people to start to get consciousness, as we found out, Ford made it so that they do not respond to voice commands from anybody.
Period.
Maybe him.
Interesting. Okay.
So, I do agree that Ghost Nation may be the only people exempt from Clementine's new kind of weapon that she has from Maeve's code.
But her weapon is not verbal. It's passed through the mesh network.
True, but Maeve also, I believe, can't control them through the mesh network either. Now, has that been proven yet?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
There's still some confusion for me around that whole what exactly they noticed in Maeve's code that was allowing her to control. Because we knew she was using voice commands successfully, but then she was using the mesh network to control people and get them to do things successfully. Now Clementine's going to be able to do that.
I want to believe that Maeve, even with the mesh network, couldn't control Ghost Nation. Now, we haven't seen that yet. She didn't try and fail.
Right.
That's just my theory.
Okay.
And finally, the last call. It's a great last call.
This is Eric from Tennessee, living in Westworld. You can live through anything if magic made it.
What the fuck are you talking about, Eric? Is that a quote I don't know? Or are you just, hi?
Eric's on drugs.
Eric, you should buy the medicine man from Rowdy Gentleman. Because you're on some of those, if not all of those drugs. You can live through anything if magic made it. Is that the new t-shirt?
I don't know. I thought at one point he might be trying to make a Reading Rainbow reference. I don't think he was.
Oh, wait. That's a quote. Oh, it's a Kanye West quote.
You can live through anything if magic made it.
Okay, there we go. That shows that I'm out of the
I Kanye still don't know what his call meant.
I don't know.
I'll just be upfront about that from now on, since you're going to make fun of me, you know, to my face and hurt my feelings.
You insulted my second cousin.
You've never met the man.
He's still the boy. He's still my flesh and blood.
He's just a boy.
That's There Will Be Blood, right?
No, that's I've abandoned my boy. Oh. I've abandoned my boy.
Oh, okay.
That's There Will Be Blood. What I was doing is nonsense.
Oh, that was nothing.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it. Here we go. Season finale is on Sunday. But guess what? We have one more episode before then. We're coming back tomorrow. Ba 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 ba. Fam, fam, fam horn.
Ba 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 ba. Surprise to me. What? We're coming back tomorrow?
Yes, we're coming back tomorrow. You didn't know this?
Nope.
Oh, it's in your calendar.
Oh, okay.
Also, we have a special guest tomorrow, Connor Moore.
Oh, shit.
If you are active on our Twitter, then he is the founder of Connor's Crockpot Theories. We quote tweet him a lot, and a lot of you have responded to his takes. He's been very active on our social, and he lives in Austin, and he's a friend of the company. He's on our Substock podcast quite a bit.
Fun fact, Connor and I went to college together.
Yes, you did. You were in the same fraternity?
We were.
Did you haze him?
Wow. Yeah, we hated each other.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there going to be tension tomorrow on the potty?
No. Now we're dear friends.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So come back tomorrow and then also come back on Monday and buy the goddamn dream t-shirt. You asked for it. I fucking made it. Well, I didn't make it. Schmelzy Mendelson made it. He's doing good, by the way. He's not dead or in prison. Tweet at us, DM us, leave comments. We will respond to you.
Hey,
I'm at Jared Borislow on everything.
Can I say something?
No.
If you have any shirt ideas that don't either, I guess let me put it this way. I'll be nice. If you have any shirt ideas that resonate with a larger group of you that aren't the dream tee, hit us up. We'd love to make some more Freeze All Motor Functions Westworld themed tees for you. And we have the ability to do that just hit us up if you've got good ideas for tees.
I agree with the majority of what you just said. However, the Dream t-shirt is the most clamored for t-shirt in the history of the world.
All right. If everybody, if you want to live in that reality, that's up to you.
If everybody who told me that they wanted a Dream t-shirt buys one, then we're going to retire.
Okay, I'm psyched about that prospect.
Yeah. And then you can buy another house.
Because I'll be real with you, Jared. My brain is scrambled from this season. I need Sunday to give me what I need. Give it to me, please. Please.
Sounds like you need the Medicine Man t-shirt, Hawaiian shirt from RiderGentleman.com.
No, I need a season finale that just knocks my dick right off.
Okay, he's at WR Bolin on everything. We are at Freeze on Motor on Twitter, at Freeze on Motor Functions on Instagram. It's time for the NPR style sign off. Freeze All Motor Functions is brought to you by Grand X Media and hosted by me, Jared Borislow, along with Rick Balters. Michael Wiener produced the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, aka Schnapple, on SoundCloud for our intro music, Brad Hess for our outro music, and intern Sereno does insanely awesome Westworld themed Photoshop work for us that you can check out on Twitter at Freeze All Motor and Instagram at Freeze All Motor Functions. We will see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Freeze All Motor Functions.